One time I met Mr. John Adams himself. Did you know that? John Adams, founding father and second president of these United States. What's more, he spoke of me to someone when I wasn't in the room. He said that Robert Owen is a very smart man and will be of great service to the human race. How about that? Now, I also met Mr. Adams' son, Mr. John Quincy Adams, on a few occasions. John Q. Adams, on the other hand, said that I was a speculative, scheming, mischievous man. But what on earth does he know? He was only the sixth president. Nowadays, very few people know the name Robert Owen. Those who do know only that I was a remarkably wealthy and successful industrialist in the cotton business. Remarkably successful. And that I founded the settlement of New Harmony along the Wabash River in the southwestern crook of Indiana. And that my purchase of the place resulted in a rather short-lived and ultimately unsuccessful experiment in creating a utopia, a perfect society. But I have learned so much since then. It seems that passing away and leaving this earthly reality behind gives a spirit like myself some perspective. Now, I don't know that I was ever an easy man to be around. Just ask my wife, or my eldest son, Robert Dale. When I entered a room, I brought with me an electrical storm of thunder and hail and ideas and philosophies and theories and demands. I was so driven and determined and ambitious that I often couldn't and wouldn't hear questions or objections, or at times even reason. And I imagine that made things hard for people. Still, I was driven and determined and ambitious, and while the fire of my ambition might have insulted or confused people, it also inspired people. For you see, that fire burned bright in an effort to serve people. Society. Humanity. Now, this was all some time ago. I died in 1858, but the fire of my ideas did not die out, and the need for those ideas is ever present, despite the fact that I'm dust in the ground. That is why I'm here among you today. Is it possible to make humanity better? To find a greater and more useful existence for us all? A perfect world? Can we make a utopia? That is the mission before us. If so, how? I had my own ideas, but new science might provide the answer. Science that was unavailable to me in my day. Now, I was accused more than once in my time of relishing the sound of my own voice. It is absolutely true. I have plenty to say about then, about now, about the future. A fine writer once said that man must live in the past, present, and the future. The spirits of all three should strive within him. But let us begin in the past and see if we might match it to the present. My name is Robert Owen. I was born in Wales in 1771 in the modest little room above my father's shop. My father was the saddler and ironmonger, postmaster and churchwarden of the village of Newtown. Newtown was a neat, clean, beautifully situated village, not containing more than 1,000 inhabitants, with the ordinary trades, but no manufactures except a very few flannel looms. You see, I was born just as the Industrial Revolution was born, a time of production and trade, a time of machines. I, too, was a machine of sorts, and so are you, and so are we all. Bear with me. I often said that people are creatures of circumstance, that our life, our fate, is inextricably linked to the circumstances of our existence. In my day, this was simply a philosophy. But modern science reveals that I was more correct than I could possibly understand. In order to truly look at circumstance, we must look at ourselves as machines of a sort. Machines with engines, circuits, wires, pipes, gears, and fuel. We shall first define our terms. Chromosome. A thread-like structure of chemicals found in living cells which carries genetic information in the form of genes. We humans have thousands of genes within 46 chromosomes, 23 from our biological mother, and 23 from our biological father. I know. It's simply mind-boggling, especially for a person born in the latter half of the 18th century. I worked in the cloth business all of my life. Cotton, silk, linen, muslin. Thread is nothing new to me. But in my time, I never could have imagined that a building block of life was contained in a living thread. Back then, the concept of a gene, a cell, a thing so tiny it cannot be seen by the human eye, would have seemed pure fantasy. At that time, doctors were still convinced that sickness could be cured by draining blood. So if we are to think on the condition of the human race, we must first think about ourselves as machines bound to a specific set of chromosomes and genes. By the time we take our first breath, these twisted ladders of genetic information determine a great deal of our destiny. Dr. Bill Sullivan, a brilliant biologist of your modern age, puts it thusly: the genes we inherit are like the playing cards we hold at the poker table. We have to play our best game with the hand we're dealt. Creatures of circumstance. And the earliest circumstance is found in the basic construction of our machine cells. We must consider this when we look at success and achievement. We must consider it before we call someone a self-made man or self-made woman.